This podcast is brought to you in part by Busy.co, the place for freelancers and small business to make money. Busy.co, that's BIZZY.co. Welcome, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 68. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we're grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
Good. How are you? Do we ever get any phone calls on that?
No, I was just thinking, I'm sitting here saying the phone number and nobody ever calls.
Nope. That's super sad.
Well, I'm not going to get rid of the number. It's too good, but I do want to work on my way up to the live call-in thing. I think that'll still eventually happen.
Yeah,
next
maybe.
Year. Yeah, who knows?
Next yeah. year. If we ever get out of 2020.
It's going to be where we're going to have to just go live and phone number, then let's take the phone calls and piece them into a thing as they happen. So anyway.
Gotcha.
Hey, what are we going to do on this podcast?
Well, today is the number of our social media people have submitted some questions. We have six
love it.
Today. And then we have a special Savvy Savings segment. We're going to share some of the things that our social media people have shared online. As expensive purchases that they regretted afterwards.
I was thinking about taking that list and also making a YouTube video out of that. Because I know you have a vacation coming up. So I think I'm going to replace that with some YouTube videos and that. And then we have to think about weddings and things. So I'm building up some content for the future that I can fill in while you're on vacation.
Yes, because I will be having some time off in a couple weeks.
Yes, and we had HR approve that, so I'm glad.
Yes.
All right. Hey, we have a podcast review.
Awesome.
Colleen says, great. This is over on Apple Podcast, everybody. And we're so grateful that people take the time to go over to these podcast platforms and post, because it does help the podcast when you do post these reviews. It's part of the algorithm, like everything else on the internet. So Colleen says, great information and educational. I was so nervous that I wasn't making the most of my retirement options. With every episode, I feel more and more confident. Love Craig and Amanda's show so much. Single exclamation point.
Oh, only one exclamation point, huh?
She didn't love us that much. Just kidding. No, but I appreciate that she took the time to post that. So that's over on Apple Podcast. If you don't believe us, it's right there. You know, so right there. Lots of people posting. So I appreciate that. Social media question one.
Okay.
I am in over my head with credit card debt. $70,000, Amanda.
Ouch.
I currently have $1,000 in savings. That's good. And contribute 6% to my 401k. It used to be 12% to my 401k. Should I take the $1,000 and pay what I can, stop my 401k, because my company matches we've heard this how many times? My company matches 6% if you put in 6%. If a train leaves Chicago at 70 miles, should I consolidate my debt with an agency? I am currently on baby step two.
Okay, so there's a couple of questions.
There's there. A which lot of you, questions in here.
Which one do you want to take first?
Let's start with $1,000. Let's start with the baby step one part. Leave the $1,000 alone. That's baby step one. So do not take your $1,000 and pay what you can. That is supposed to be someplace you can't touch.
Yeah,
you
don't
need
touch
that.
It.
That don't is touch. So incredibly it's, important.
It's sacred.
People, I don't think people understand that how important that $1,000, if you have debt, that's going to save you if the car breaks down or something like that. It's not a full emergency fund, but it's enough to get you through, to get you through baby step two. Here's a little quick fact, Amanda. Mm-hmm. When Dave Ramsey created these baby steps, they didn't have the baby step one $1,000 emergency fund. They quickly realized in the early days that the baby step two of paying off your debt, that people would come up with other things, then they would end up further into debt. So they said we got to add $1,000 in there. So that's the number they came up with. Anyway, what else you want to attack on this? Because there's a couple other layers.
Well, why don't we talk about the company match next?
Yes, let's do that. That's a very common thing I keep hearing, by the way. So
yeah. And well, I guess it goes hand in hand with the $70,000 in credit card debt.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it sounds like they're kind of all over the place doing Dave-ish, not really following the magical recipe.
Yeah, because we're not supposed to be contributing anything. If you're in baby step two, as this person stated, they admitted, I am currently in baby step two. Baby step two, we stop all contributions to the 401k, regardless of the company match. We don't care. And I know a lot of people out there are good at math and they think, well, but I'm losing out. And you've mentioned this multiple times. We need to take every penny available and throw it at this debt, which, yeah. You know, but yeah, the company match, we don't care. You can worry about your 6% later.
Your 6% is it. And even the whatever gains it would make is probably way less than the 27% you're paying on your credit card interest.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we need to attack the $70,000 of debt. And that's a lot of credit card debt. And like you said, you just said that interest rate you probably have right now, you can't make that in the stock market right now. So you need to take every penny and we need to come up with side gigs or whatever it takes to get rid of that debt. It's going to be tough. That's a tough one. That's a tough road. And don't touch your 401k.
And if you have $70,000 in credit cards, I would suspect that there's other debt there as well. So
you're thinking a car and
make sure that you're doing the whole snowball method, smallest debt first. And the other question was consolidating, right?
Oh, that's a big one. And we've never really addressed that before. Yeah. I'm totally against it.
Yeah, I'm against it. So is every other financial, credible financial person out there is also
I'm not going to call it a scam, but stay away from them. Stay away from them.
Tackle it with the debt snowball, smallest to largest. You can handle it. If you turn it over to someone else, you're not going to feel the pain of having to manage it. You need to take the reins, be responsible for your financial future.
In 70,000, I mean, if I had to stare at that, I'd be just as scared. I understand it. But people have paid off more than that, a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So debt snowball, smallest balance, largest, include your cars, anything else you have out there. You need to strip out all the unnecessary expenses. I know you have streaming services, probably more than you need, because that's why the credit card's it. Pick one or two to keep you happy and the family happy. But you got to cut back on everything. Have a family meeting. Man, you've talked about this.
Yeah. You guys sit down and say, turn off all of your automatic payments.
Oh, yeah. Go find everything. And you got to go through, get your credit card things out. And where's my money going? Mm-hmm. And figure it out. You got to cut back and do the baby steps. You're not doing the baby steps. So, anyway. All right. Question two.
Yeah.
If I have $21,000 in my savings and $20,000 in debt, is it best to just pay off all my debt and build back up my $20,000 or keep making the monthly payments? Maybe a stupid question, but I honestly don't know. Any suggestions? Let me just point out something, Amanda. You in the last episode, where are we on? Episode 68, right?
Yeah.
In 67, you brought up something that I didn't really think about before.
Yeah.
And we're getting back to the scoreboard thing. Yeah. So you want to do that again? Because I love how you did that before.
Yeah. So one, it's not a stupid question. It's a, hey, I kind of know what I should do, but I don't want to do it. And so can someone else tell me I have to?
Yeah.
kind of question.
It is. But. It is.
Because this is really simple math, right? So 21,000 minus 20,000 still leaves you with your $1,000 baby emergency fund. And then you've knocked out step one and step two. Yeah. And probably, you know, then you can start on step three, building up your 3 to 6 month savings. I will say one caveat here. It depends on how much you legitimately think your job is at risk right now in this COVID environment.
True.
So that would be my one hesitation here. If you are super secure in your job, then my thinking is, yes, take the entire $20,000 out of your savings, pay off the debt today, use what you had been paying in payments to that debt, and you now pay yourself with that to build up your emergency fund. Right. Now, what you were bringing up, I suspect, is the fact that I connected it to emotions, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So this is a very emotional question and problem that people are having. And I get it. I've been there where you work so hard to put money in your savings account and it feels really precious and you don't want to touch it at all. And you'd rather just not feel that pain by just continuing to make payments every month and not having to touch and subtract from your hard-earned savings.
Yeah,
it's hard, but that's what your savings is there for, is to keep you out of trouble. And debt is trouble with a capital T. So pay it off and then start paying yourself that, and you're not going to have to pay interest. Instead, you'll be making interest.
To this day, I still have that scoreboard mentality that you brought up. Even though I'm apparently, according to the news I saw the other day, I am wealthy. Yeah. In COVID, they said 2 million is the level now. I don't know what that is, but all that money, I guess I could touch it, but I don't. It's all in investments. It's all in 401ks and IRAs, but I'm not 59 and a half yet. So I can't really touch it. And I don't want to touch it.
Right.
So you don't want to. Actual bank account is not that big, which is weird. I know that sounds weird. I have my emergency fund, but I just pay my bills. And I don't have a lot left over.
Yeah,
because I don't
either, because I do the $0 budgeting. So money that would, I guess, technically be left over, it's already subtracted and put into a savings account. And I feel that way too. And my husband, I was talking about that. We were walking one day. He reminded me that we actually made the same mistake a number of years ago where he had a truck payment and we were making payments on it. We had enough to pay extra every month and we had a savings account sitting there. But it was just so hard to withdraw from the savings account to pay it off when you can rationalize, oh, I can just make payments and, you know, every month I can afford extra payments, so I'll just pay it off quickly. But yeah, you could just take the money out. And because a part of you is thinking, well, what if something terrible happens and then I don't have this big savings account?
Right.
Yeah. There's always that little voice in the back of your head.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you said, it's an accomplishment number. It's like, I worked this hard to come up with that. You don't want to spend it.
Yeah. So I get it.
I get it.
Yeah, I made the same mistake once. And then eventually we just decided, oh, this is really stupid. We need to just pay it off in one lump sum.
But then I feel better when I pay it. But
it'll feel so great to have that freedom where you're not writing someone else a check every month. Instead, you're putting the check into your own piggy bank.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Next one. You ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm.
This is a different question. I'm including it. It's not really money. But it does involve where your money comes from, okay? So I thought we could have a little conversation. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I want to hear your opinion. Mm-hmm. It's about the workplace. How do you guys cope with toxic bosses? One minute, I'm the best employee. Then he's calling me an idiot who is even lucky to have a job during COVID-19. Sadly, it pays very well with really good benefits, so leaving is hard. And that's... I get that. I do believe that. But every day it's yelling and cursing and name calling with him. I've never had a boss who treated me like this. I know what I'd do.
Yeah. Time to go. This is an abusive relationship. This sounds exactly like domestic abuse where everything, it's awful. And then it's always, oh, I'm so sorry. You're the greatest. And then they reel you back in. No, this is the cyclical, typical abusive relationship. You need to get out immediately.
Yeah.
And you know what? You need to start documenting this treatment and, you know, speak to someone about it, because he may also be out of a job.
Yep. I don't know how big this company is or whatever, but you need to start getting on LinkedIn and all that. And there are settings you can put on there so that only recruiters can see your resume. Mm-hmm. So it's not like open. So if you don't know how to do that, you know, look at YouTube videos, whatnot, and learn how that. And LinkedIn's very good about that, keeping your privacy, because you don't want them people know you're applying out there, obviously. Yeah. So, but app, and I like the documentation. I like that you covered that, because this is not right. It's not right. I would not stay. Well,
and I guess the other thing is, have you ever attempted to have a conversation with them because maybe they don't recognize what they're doing. I'm not trying to give too much benefit of the doubt here because this sounds awful, but you know, have you at least attempted to reconcile the situation? Because that's going to go a long way in your documentation as well. Like, yeah, I had a conversation where I pointed out that this and this and this is not appropriate, and yet the behavior continues.
Love it. So here's number four. We're flying through these. I like it. I see a chart floating around on social media showing a comparison of monthly residual income as compared to a bank account balance at 5%.
Okay.
Yeah. I am so thankful for the residual income I have being only in my mid-40s. Any thoughts on this? Thank you. So I'm assuming the way they asked that question, they don't have the bank balance, but they have the residual is how I'm reading that. Do you agree with that? I shared with you the chart they're talking about. So here's an example, people that are listening. So they're talking about if residual income, can you afford to not have it? It's one of those memes out there that tries to make one thing look better without sticking with the fundamentals. So they're saying if your monthly residual income is $100, it says it's just like having this in the bank earning 5% interest, $24,000.
Okay, so the example is if you're making a residual income of $100, like you have a rental property and you clear after all other expenses $100.
Yeah, it would be like having $24,000 in the bank is what it says at 5% interest.
No one's collecting 5%.
Nobody's making 5% in the bank in interest. So if the residual income is $5,000 a month, they're saying it's the same as having $1.2 million in the bank. Personally, residual income to me is not guaranteed. Things are going okay. I would rather have the $1.2 million than worry about getting my residual after that.
That's a bonus. I would too. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have the foundation.
Maybe they're thinking it's their retirement account and not just a savings account. And then they're doing like a 5% withdrawal rate.
That's a good point. The meme may be titled wrong where it says the bank earning. It should be like a 401k making 5% interest. That's a good point. I think you're right. Okay. I would rather have the balance than doing rental properties getting $5,000.
Yeah. I'd rather do both.
I would rather have the foundation of what you're supposed to do. The money's in the bank. You're good to go. Now I'm going to go start diversifying. It's that corn explorer thing. Then I'm going to go to try and get all my residual income, which I do want to do in the future. I'm 57. I would like to get rental properties going. I'm just not that. I want to build up some cash, but anyway.
Yeah, what are you waiting for? I told you I'd help you.
I know. We're gonna work on that together. No, we're definitely going to do that. I definitely want to do that. But that's my opinion on that. I know there's a lot of these crazy memes floating all over Facebook and stuff. Please don't get your financial information from a meme, please.
Or your healthcare information.
Or your healthcare, yeah. Wear your mask. That's all I'm going to say.
There's a lot of people graduating from the medical college of Facebook right now.
Oh, my God. Social media question five. After taxes, medical and other benefits, HSA and a 15% in my 401k contribution, almost half my check is gone before I see it.
Perfect.
Yep. That's pretty much how it works. In addition, we are paying double on our mortgage each month in baby step six. Hey. By the way, congratulations on that. That's amazing. Yeah. Further on the question, no wonder I feel broke. Please remind me how worth it it is to be at baby step seven, which is, Amanda, all debt, including mortgage, paid off. You're investing. You're completely 100% out of debt.
Give generously, right?
Oh, give generously as well, yes.
And have fun, right? Or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You're paying yourself. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're completely debt free. Everything's gone.
Yep. So you're almost there. If you're on six now, it doesn't say how much longer they'll be paying on the mortgage, but the end is in sight either way. You're on this marathon and you're like on the last mile. So you can do it. And then you get to give generously and have fun. You can plan whatever you want and you're going to have all this extra money.
You know why they feel broke, Amanda? Because they're doing all this, right? So what do you think
they're paying themselves first?
But what do you think they see their neighbors doing and everybody else doing? They see everybody else having fun buying stuff. They're posting on Instagram. They're like, people are traveling down to Florida and Texas getting coronavirus. While they're sitting there.
Not right now. There's not much.
That's true.
But they probably see their neighbors getting Uber Eats every day and thinking, wow, I can't afford to have food delivered every day from our restaurant. But see,
they're doing HSA and 401k. They're doing everything correctly. But the difference between them and everyone else, when they hit baby step seven, is they're in the minority now. They're almost in the 1% at this point. Right. They are kicking. You don't realize how different your life is. So when you go buy a vehicle, because you can go buy the new vehicle, yours is paid off because you know how to handle your money. Everybody else around you does not. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. In your neighborhood, look at this, 10 houses around you, 7 of them are paycheck to paycheck, nothing saved. That's a fact on a national average in America. You are part of the other. Only 20% of America reaches millionaire status in net worth. So you can either be in the 20% or the 80%. You are going to be in the 20%. And you won't have to worry about that one thing, Amanda, when you don't have to worry about...
I feel like you're talking directly to me.
No, but when you don't have to pay a bill other than your regular utilities, that feeling of not... Like, no one thought the pandemic would ever happen. This came out of nowhere. Yeah, and then you're going to feel like,
oh my gosh, I have all this money. I don't even know what I can spend it on every month.
Well, like right now, Amanda, okay, pandemic showed up. I got furloughed from a job that I did because I wanted to work, right? I wanted to keep building up more money, but I didn't have to work. I got furloughed, but you know what? Nothing changed for me. Okay, so I don't have this extra money come in, but I still have extra money every month. So nothing to me changed. And that's the difference between someone that's baby step seven and someone that has tons of debt, like 70,000 of credit card debt. I don't mean to pick on the other person, but there's a difference. So when a pandemic hits them, they're now looking for food scraps.
Right, they're scrambling.
It's a completely different situation. You can't predict the future. Did anyone think COVID-19, a pandemic in 2020? When's the last time we had a pandemic?
Well, some people did predict this, and there was a playbook that was ignored, but that aside.
But you know, I mean, the difference, nothing changes for me. I just stay at home because I can't be around knuckleheads, and I'm being kind. So I just I just stay here. I'm happy. Yeah. But anyway, that's the difference. If you just stay on it, you are now going to be in the minority and you're going to be fine. When you get there, you'll be able to sit back and like, whatever.
Pandemic. Hey, so let me just say one more thing. Good. So this person used an exclamation mark after "I feel broke." The one thing I would ask is, have you ever rewarded yourself for what you are accomplishing?
That's a good point.
Personally, I don't think it would be a huge hit if they took one of those double mortgage payments and just took that money and did something special for themselves and then got right back on the double mortgage payment.
You know, that's a good point.
You know, that's if that's the way you're really feeling and you're starting to feel completely out of sorts and that it's you know, not worth it, you've got two choices. You stay on the path and you get done sooner, or you take a 1 month hiatus, just make the regular payment instead of double and take that extra money and do something special as your reward.
I totally approve. I love it.
I love it. It's probably not what Dave Ramsey would say, but that's how I think you stay motivated and stay on your diet.
No, but
allow yourself a cheat day every now and then.
Yeah. I mean, it could be $1,000 or $2,000 we're talking about here.
Yeah, I don't know. Treat yourself.
I mean, it's kind of hard to do a vacation right now, but that would just give you some time to take a break, take some time off.
Go buy a new outfit, whatever makes you happy, you know, that isn't going crazy, you know.
You've earned that right. Yeah, absolutely. It's only one payment.
And don't make it a habit because you're on a path of meeting your goal. But I don't see a problem with doing that with one payment.
Yep. And then you're going to get a taste of, what's going to be like when I don't have any payments.
Yeah. When I have twice as much of this every month.
but please, when you get done with paying off your mortgage, please go back to that 401k and up that contribution higher than 15, because that's what you're supposed to do. Bring that up higher, but still keep some money for yourself. So you can enjoy life, but keep the HSA going. Keep that 15% 401k. Please up that higher as much as you can and keep some for you because you've earned it. So there you go. Last question, Amanda. I am 7.5 years from retirement and have been self-employed in years in the past. I am looking to open a business in the meantime. Are there any publications that you would recommend? I am looking for ideas. I would even consider a franchise.
This one worries me.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a single iota of passion in there. And I don't think there's much hope for success in opening a business if you don't know what you're passionate about.
So let me add some information because I had a little conversation with this person. They used to be very good at jewelry, but they feel like they can't do it now. I don't know why. But they are more into one. They saw a neighbor. This is how this stuff happens, well, Amanda.
So if they feel like they can't do it anymore, it means they've lost their passion for it.
Yeah, I've seen that on Food Network, like Restaurant Impossible and stuff. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so the restaurant owner, he just lost the passion and the place just falls apart. Exactly. So here's where this came from, and this is how it happens.
It goes back to my earlier point. Money is emotional.
Right. So their neighbor, apparently, he saw their neighbor get a couple of vans for Amazon, lease the vans and hire drivers. And that's what he wants to do now because he sees his neighbor doing it.
So you're 7.5 years from retirement and you want to now start something that is going to suck the joy from your life.
Oh, it's going to suck. And I've heard about these.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, I've heard these people that
retirement's supposed to be good.
Yeah, I've heard about the people that do lease those Amazon vans. I know exactly what there's a guy that delivers our neighborhood. I talked to him for a few minutes. He was in a rush. He regrets it. He goes, it's not a good deal. He goes, but I signed the paper. I now have this Amazon truck. You know, dark gray vans.
Yeah, with the smiley face on.
Yeah. So, yeah, he goes, I have 5 other people. So, and I've seen the articles. You can Google the news articles. It's not really cited for the people that lease them, but they're in the lease now. So now they're stuck. And you guys still get the deliveries out there. You're part of the Amazon. I'm not putting down Amazon, but Amazon has a machine and they need the stuff to get from A to B as quick as possible. You are now part of that. So you better perform. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know if I'd want that stress as a retiree.
Yeah. So it's really hard to recommend a publication when we don't know what type of business you're looking at, because the publications, I would point you in the direction of something specialized for that market. And it really, I'm not hearing that you're passionate about anything. If you're just open to anything and everything, generalists don't succeed. Yeah. You need to be a specialist. And if you're passionate about jewelry, go for it. I'm not trying to discourage people from opening businesses if that's what they enjoy and that's what they're passionate about, because that's when you're going to see success.
Here's a common recommendation when it comes to franchises that I've heard numerous times from, like, even Clark Howard has mentioned this. So, like, if I wanted to open up a Taco Bell, which I'd get fat as crap if I owned my own Taco Bell. That would be friggin' awesome, by the way. But if you want to do a franchise, like they have these franchise shows all the time. We have them here in the DC area. If you want to do a franchise, the recommendation is you should actually go work at that place, work at that franchise and see what it's like. And then from that, from doing like a month of that or two, you would have an idea. Do you really want to get involved in this franchise? Because then you can talk to the owner, the person running it. If it's a general manager, what is what about supplies coming from the franchise company? Because usually you have to buy from them.
Yeah.
What are they supportive? Are they doing the advertising for you? Is the support chain there for your franchise? And do you even like it? You may like tacos today, but will you like them in a month from now? You probably get tired of them.
We're just hearing conflicting information here, because they opened up by saying, I'm 7.5 years from retirement, but you're not. If you're looking to start a new business, you're not anywhere near retirement, because businesses take work. You don't just get to open a franchise and collect checks. You actually have to be an active participant in
it. It's not 40 hours a week. No, if you're running a business, you're now an entrepreneur. You're talking about 110 plus.
Yeah, you're not retiring.
Yeah, I don't think you understand what it takes to be an entrepreneur. So, anyway. Yeah, rethink that. Right. I'd concentrate on getting to retirement before you worry about doing anything else.
So, yeah.
You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take
a break. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to Savvy Savings. It's almost like a special edition. And we're going to talk about what? Expensive purchases.
Yeah, expensive purchases that our listeners regretted.
Ooh, I love that. Nothing worse than regret. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money. A skill you think you can make money on? Are you looking for some extra income? Are you an existing small business owner or freelancer looking to get more clients? Then bizzy.co, that's BIZZY.co, is the site platform for you. On bizzy.co, you can create your page for free and offer your services within minutes. The awesome bizzy.co team will drive customers to your page to purchase your services. We only charge 5% on the transactions and the rest goes to you with no subscription or hidden fees. Creating a page on bizzy.co is a no-brainer as it costs you $0 to sign up and have a page, and there's very little skill or effort to create one. So whether you're a trainer, a tutor, a handyman, a photographer, or even if you have a truck and want to make money helping move people, create a free page on the platform and make some extra cash today. The time to get busy is now at bizzy.co, BIZZY.co.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money podcast number 68. We love that everybody's subscribing. We love all the comments. I know we're experimenting with a lot of different things like videos. We're just trying to find what works as we come out of COVID. Well, whenever that is.
Well, you make it sound like we have COVID. Yeah, so. We don't have COVID.
Hey, what we got in this Savvy Savings?
So this time we're going to share. We posed a question to our social media page asking, what are some expensive purchases that you've made that you then later regretted? And we had some really great shares on that. So I thought it would be fun to share some of them here and talk about, whether or not a better choice could have been made.
I probably have made a ton of them. I can't even come up with a single one, but I'm with you. Go ahead. Let's see what they got.
Not even your Samsung appliances?
Okay. You would not know what I went through with that today. I should have taken a picture of the biggest hunk of ice. It came out of the soda drawer, not even in the freezer. The thing was huge. It took up the whole sink.
Yeah.
I should have taken a picture and posted it. People have no idea the struggle. And you can't order a refrigerator apparently right now.
Oh. Yeah.
I had no idea there's a shortage of refrigerators right now. You can't get, because of the supply chain for parts. Anyway. So I'm stuck with a stupid Samsung. Thanks for ruining my day.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Regret. Go ahead.
So the first one, someone said a new minivan. We needed one, just didn't have to be brand new.
There you go.
Yeah, so we hear that a lot, people. Mm-hmm. So that's really a good point there. There's a discrepancy between a need and a want, right? Like the need is transportation and the right size transportation for your family and what meets your family's needs. But if you made a list of the requirements, what would they be, Craig? Something with wheels, something that runs, right. Something that has 5 or 6 seats, whatever you need for your family size. The new factor of it, that's a want. And that discrepancy can be thousands of dollars.
But you know what happens when people have kids? Like they have their first kid. They feel like they have to buy, they justify the new vehicle because they want something safe.
They want a family vehicle.
Right. Yeah. And so they buy something, a big SUV, thinking it's going to protect the baby. That's not true. A Civic has a 5-star. Well,
it is true, but only to the same extent that, yes, a Civic or another.
Right. They all are 5-star rated crash vehicles. Okay. I mean,
you make it sound like SUVs are killing babies.
No. Yes. We're doing a big recall on SUVs, but you know what I'm saying? They're buying these huge SUVs because they had a baby. That's the most crazy. That's the craziest thing ever. But I see it all the time, at least in my area, in the Washington, D.C. area. If I go to, I drive by one of those 4-on-4 soccer things where those 4-year-olds run around chasing this ball, right?
Yeah.
And you know what's parked in the grass? The longest line of these SUVs, and they're the newest looking things, Toyotas, Nissans, is like, oh my God, looks like a new car lot. But you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Yeah. Anyway. Well, here's a fun one. Someone said a free horse, upwards of $7,000 in vet bills.
I've never heard of a free horse. It might be free, but it's like a boat, right? Or a swimming pool.
You're like, oh, look at that. It's free. I've always wanted a horse. And then you keep shelling out money at the vet. No wonder it was free. This other person's like, just get me out of this horse situation.
Horses don't generate an income.
No.
No. They eat your money.
Yeah, but that's a really great point. Like, sometimes free isn't free.
That's true. Good point.
So great savings advice there. Make sure you do your research on anything, not just horses, but anything that, you know, looks like a really great deal because it's free or it's really inexpensive for what it would normally go for. Yes. If it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this one was interesting. An Instapot.
What?
So it was around $80 or $90. I don't use it, and I don't know how to use it. It scares me.
Come on. I love my Instapot. It says you put eggs in it. You put one cup of water in there. You put the thing on, and you press the button that says eggs. And you end up with hard-boiled eggs. And the shell comes right off. I talked to you about that.
You did? Why are you shouting at me?
What, they said it scares? How does an Instapot scare them? I don't understand.
Well, I don't know, but I think it's a bigger concept here, right? Like we purchase these new and fancy fang-dangled like appliances that have one function, and then they sit in your cabinet or on your counter and you never use them.
Or you get them for Christmas.
You get them for Christmas.
I get tons of that stuff. I'm like,
how often do you use your panini maker, you know?
Or the quesadilla maker.
The quesadilla or the cake pops.
My God, yes.
Yeah. All those little, like you can go down an aisle in Target and there's like the specialized little appliance for all sorts of little things. So
what was that dumb thing that was out where you take a banana, it turns into Froyo or something? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
There was this stupid thing. You take frozen bananas and there's comes out as supposed to be ice cream. It's like frozen banana soup.
Yeah.
And everybody was buying this stupid thing. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, anyway, so I think that's really more the point there is, you know, look at your lifestyle. If you're not really an Instapot user, then don't get talked into it just because all your friends are getting that thing.
Well, why don't you say it that way? I've thrown away or given away so many of those stupid things. Brand new in a box.
Yes. Because you're a hoarder. Yeah.
Next.
Here's a funny one. Well, I shouldn't say funny, but that's my judgment. A house after a breakup, $55,000, just a small 2-bedroom. A few years later, moved out of state, but the market sucked, so rented it out. I've since moved back into the same town, but the neighborhood has tanked. Never want to live there again, so been a landlord, but can really only charge enough rent to pay the mortgage. Only 8 more years and it's paid off.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah. So I think the moral of that story, since we're trying to connect all of these to some kind of saving lesson, is to, one, don't get convinced just by everyone that you need to get a house just because everyone else is getting a house or feels like that's what you should. I hate that word, should be doing at that stage in your life, right?
Yep.
Like there's this grand plan that once you turn a certain age, you're supposed to get married and then supposed to have kids and have a white picket fence. Do what works for you and is best for you. And I don't know. She said after a breakup, I'm assuming it's a she. Not a breakup, but not a divorce or something. Ooh. So if that would be my other piece of advice is don't buy a house with someone you're not legally tied to.
That's a big mistake. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Huge. Yeah. Yep. And then you can never predict what a market's going to do. Most people always assume real estate goes up, but not everywhere. Yeah. Here, someone said a pontoon boat for $20,000. We actually had a number of people say boats.
Really? Because I would like to get, my ultimate goal is to move to a lake, and I want a pontoon boat.
Okay. Well, you can probably
I can buy it from them. I'll buy this for 12. I'll give you $12,000 for it right now.
Send them a little private message. Yes. I'll take that pontoon off your hands.
I don't want a jet ski boat or any of those. The pontoon is lower maintenance. I do know that much. I just want to be able to get on something, go out and just park it. And a pontoon boat seems stable and I can just chill. That's the only reason it's probably not a good reason. Let's move on.
What is a big floaty? Why don't you just toss that in the lake and lay on it?
Good. Okay. Once again, Amanda, damn. That's why we keep her around. Now I'm not buying a boat. Thanks. Moving on.
All right. How about this one? A venti latte caramel macchiato at Starbucks.
Those are good, by the way.
They say Starbucks is overrated. Yeah.
But I will get those and you do it upside down. And I don't know anything about coffee, but someone bought me one of those once and did upside down and it's good.
What does that mean?
They just put the foam and stuff on the bottom and then it's reversed. That way it's all mixed up.
Oh, okay.
So you say, I don't know. I don't know how to order it. I just say large. I'm a Dunkin' Donuts guy, but that's the only thing I know how to order at Starbucks.
Okay. they say Starbucks is overrated. And you're going to spend a lot of money on coffee if that's where you're picking up your daily brew. We did have a Savvy Savings segment on coffee savings a number of episodes ago. There's a lot of ways you can make coffee for pennies rather than spending $5 on a fancy. Yep.
That's what beverage. I do at home.
How about this? A fancy beach cruiser bike, no gears, even when hubby said you better get gears, won't be able to stay up with us.
What's a beach cruiser bike?
So now I want to do long bike rides on trails and get an even nicer bike. I just can't justify buying a new one. So a beach cruiser is just, it's got like a big broad seat, some fatter tires, and there's no gears on it. You're just supposed to like cruise around. You know,
you mean the tires are big enough you could actually ride it on the beach?
Yeah.
Really? See, you live in Florida. I don't know this stuff. I don't. Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's another thing is, well, she probably doesn't want to admit it, but her husband might have been right on this one to get something with gear. If your whole family has something with gears and that's what they do is they ride bikes together, then you getting a bike that doesn't accommodate that lifestyle probably isn't.
Oh, they're trying to get you to buy into a lifestyle that you really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. How about this? Timeshare regret.
That's a bad word here. I'm adding that to the list.
Yeah, I did like somebody's response says, I don't mean to poke fun. It's just that when we sat through their pitch, then I projected the cost for a week times 52 and said, no way. Then they offered older ones for $10,000. At that point, I knew they were totally full of it. And then, of course, there's all these radio ads that you can use these companies to get out of your timeshare. So that's a big clue, right?
Okay, so I hear those ads all the time, and I hear them on the radio show that we kind of base our information off of.
Yeah.
But I heard Clark Howard mention these timeshare exit programs are BS.
Yeah, I would believe that,
I'm starting, because that makes sense. It's like, it's just I'm not saying this is true, but to me, it sounds like here's another infomercial thing on the radio, another money commercial taking advantage of people that are looking for help.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those, but Clark Howard mentioned that 2 days ago, and now I'm like,
whole timeshare scheme is just a racket from start to finish. So you pay all this money to buy in, you have a monthly payment forever and ever, and then you pay management fees every month forever and ever. And then when you want to use your timeshare, you have all these restrictions on whether or not you can get it during the time that you actually want to use it or where you can take it. And it's just like in my opinion, it is the absolute worst way to invest in vacation time.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to save for vacation every year and go wherever you want, that's what you should do. You shouldn't be spitting all this money into one bucket that's a sunk cost on a timeshare. There's my timeshare rant. And I am against Marriott and Hilton and Blue Green and all these other scams that are like, hey, come stay in our hotel for free for a weekend. You just have to sit through a 30-minute presentation.
And yes, I've sat through one. It was the worst 4 hours of my life.
Yes, it's not 30 minutes.
It's not 30. They just need you in the door. And I did all that with my kids and everything because I just wanted free tickets to get to Alcatraz across the bay in San Francisco. Yeah. And because you can't get the tickets. So we traveled there.
This is
there.
Like the free horse where it's not free. you have to get 4 hours of your life.
Alcatraz is not worth this. So I bailed anyway. And the kids were pissed. So they still didn't go out. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Don't do it, people. Stay away.
Here's a funny one, and I don't have advice for this one. This guy said his wife, 41 years, and I'm still paying the price.
Yep. I'm staying out of this.
How about this? Apple iWatch. I think it was about $450, and I use it as a watch.
Okay. I know we have people listening from an airline right now. Mm-hmm. All of them, as soon as they graduate, they feel like they have to buy one of these. And the person writing this is probably one of the people that was told they should get it, and now they don't know why. And they only wear it at work on the plane. That's probably where this came from.
Yeah.
And I list these people, I'm like, just get a regular watch. I have a throwdown cheap watch because, that watch you told me to buy, your husband has.
Yeah, the Citizen.
Okay, so it got messed up on the airplane because it has a metal band. It got caught on the metal, so I had to bend it back. Anyway, so I bought a cheap watch. This thing was $10. Huh. As I'm on the plane, like people are complimenting. Well, people compliment me on my watch. It was $10. Like, is that an Iron Man something model? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, no, it's a throw. I don't know how.
I had one for a while, and you know what? It's just very anxiety-inducing because you're constantly getting alerts or your phone's ringing on your wrist. And once I got rid of the iWatch, my happiness level went way up. Because
you're always connected.
You're always connected. It's very distracting. Yeah. You're not giving people your full attention who are in front of you. Yeah, it's terrible.
To me, it's a tech item that does not solve a problem. It's creating problems. I'm against them. Watches took forever to take off. It's like the industry had to somehow get people to believe they had to have one, but they were around for a long time. Nobody was buying them, but now everybody wants to buy one. I don't know why, but corporate America succeeded. Anyway, you don't need one.
No,
I'm a geek and I say you don't need one. So anyway.
Oh, what's next? How about this? I love this. Paid $1,200 for this It's Just Lunch membership. Have you seen that in the Sky Mall magazine?
I've seen. Is that the dating thing?
It's that dating thing, yes. But it's just lunch because it's supposed to be low pressure and they're supposed to match you up with other professionals who are high quality. And she says, I'm assuming it's a she, but she says, all my dates were losers.
Wait a minute, it's $1,200 for that?
I guess so, yeah.
I had no idea.
My list can go on and on, but I still laugh a lot from the mistakes. But yes, $1,200 for It's Just Lunch. Oh, and that doesn't include the cost of lunch.
Good point. That sucks. Yeah.
So that's basically a very expensive matchmaker.
All the dates were losers.
All the dates were losers. I mean, you're going to get that with any dating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, apparently they're not all losers. I found my husband on eHarmony. So.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. How about this? Another $1,200 purchase. Kirby vacuum.
Kirby. Why does that name ring a bell?
Oh, they were around. They were really a hot thing back in the 80s. The Kirby vacuum. They're like door-to-door salesmen.
That's where. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
They're like, we are going to give you a free shampoo to demonstrate. No obligation. Free carpet shampoo. No obligation. But then, of course, it's just like the timeshare presentation.
Wow.
You have to sit through their little sales pitch, and they're going to show you how great and all the dirt that gets sucked up into this canister of waters, and then you just dump it out. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I'll tell you what, every member of my extended family had a Kirby.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's a successful.
Yeah. I guess good salespeople. I like my vacuum. How about this? We've seen a couple of these. The Louis Vuitton purses. One was $1,600, and I don't even use it, she says. And the other one says $4,400.
Well, okay, I'm a guy. Really?
Yeah.
Is that how much those things cost?
Yeah, well, some of these other name brands are way more than that.
Really? For a purse?
Yeah.
What does it do? I don't know. I don't get it.
You mean besides hold items on your arm?
But okay, I don't. Yeah. I'm the worst guy ever. I don't understand the cost of some of the stuff, but.
Yeah, the Louis Vuitton is really the worst because it's really hideous as well. Like, I don't understand that.
Well, I'm like not brown, into style or I don't know, but yeah, it's
terrible. Ugh. That's my personal.
$4,400? Really?
$4,400.
I don't get it.
Weddings. Ooh. This one said wedding was $40,000 plus, and it hasn't even happened yet, but I'm already regretting it. I hope she means the cost, not the marriage.
Wow. Must be one of those COVID weddings they're waiting on.
I don't know. I mean, these COVID weddings are cheap.
But a lot of people have put deposits. They can't get them back either.
Yeah.
They're stuck.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, just here's a quick little tip. You can get married for way less than that.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, like the marriage certificate is pretty cheap. It's usually less than $100. Yep. That's all you need.
Yep, that's all you need. It works the same.
This is just like that question we had about, or the minivan thing, like the difference between a need and a want. So $40,000 is definitely hitting the want. Like, what are you, a princess?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. How much did you pay for your wedding back in the day, Craig?
I didn't pay crap. And my daughter has, well, no, because no, I didn't pay for it.
Oh.
But my daughter hasn't married yet. So I already know I have a set amount. This is it. You can either keep it and do it the cheap way, which is a good recommendation. You say this is 10 or 15,000. You can either keep it and we do another cheap little small ceremony, like you said, and use it towards a house, or this is it. You budget your wedding based on that.
Yeah.
Not 40,000.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of the 10 to 15.
We went to Las Vegas for our wedding. It was our second marriage for both of us. And
nice.
All in, it was less than $5,000.
Love it.
And that was like catering for our immediate family and everything.
But see, I like that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we just did like a big suite at the hotel at one of the casino hotels, and then had everyone come there, and we had the dining room was set up with catering. We had a cake and plenty of room for everyone to hang out.
Perfect.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's a fun one. Dyson blow dryer. Overrated. Also, who spends $500 on a blow dryer? Yep, I did.
$500 on it. Is that a hair dryer?
It's a hair dryer.
$500 for a hair dryer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
I think mine's 10.
You have a hair dryer.
Okay, move on. Just stop.
Is it Consumer Reports recommended?
I don't know. It was at Walmart. I just need a hair dryer.
Yeah, yeah. That probably works fine. How about Penny Enron stock?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Here's I wish you bought Kodak the other day.
Yeah, my husband said the same thing. Yeah, yesterday, yeah.
But who would buy Kodak?
Yeah, he did, just not long enough.
Oh, okay.
Related, trading stock options for the first time and putting in the wrong amount.
That could be devastating.
Yeah. Stay away from options, people.
Yeah, don't. Remember, that's for that mistake that kid did. He ended up killing himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. And then finally, just to wrap this all up with a bow, I like this one. I think it's also important to cover.
Okay.
She says, I've never regretted some large expenditures for a few items of good quality that mean a lot and last forever. I do regret lots of needless little expenditures for things that don't last, like cheap books or knickknacks or, you know, appliances that I used once or twice and then they sat there as clutter. I'm sure I've spent more on all these over the years. Dumb.
I think I'm in that boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to sell it all on eBay.
You're amazing. Thank you. You put me right back where I need to be every time.
Your new in-box things that are now on eBay.
But now I can brag about
now
how much
like
my
vintage,
head
vintage, though. Now you can sell them as vintage, right?
$800 for a Dreamcast.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much, man. That was a great segment, actually. I like that one.
That's fun.
We might need to do a few more of those. That's good. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.